Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Thursday, June 11th, 2026, and what a day it is in, well, for me, North Jersey. I don't live in the city. I'm not trying to play fraudulent today, but boy, oh boy, full transparency, I did go to sleep during the Knicks game last night, but I'm not a diehard fan, but I'm very happy for the diehard Knicks fans out there, and everybody, of course, you know, especially not going to gatekeep a fan base I'm not even strictly a part of. But obviously, I casually root the Knicks, and I make that very much clear. And I think the reason why I do that is because, you know, I watch these games, and I can just tell, like, the way I watch a Knicks game is the way I think Yankee fans that will come to our chat during the game or, like, will come on here or come and be like, oh, this team sucks. They're not going nowhere. Like, in a way, that's how I feel watching early in a Knicks game. But guess what? I'm a casual. I don't know ball. Like, early in the game yesterday, I'm like, oh, man. Like, I hear all this about this Brunson guy. What's the... I thought he was supposed to be good. I thought this Knicks team was supposed to be good. Well, guess who's the one saying that, chat? Somebody who doesn't know ball. But, nah, point is, I'm a casual Knicks fan, and I make that very much clear. But I am very happy this morning. Good morning, by the way, because the city is popping. Knicks obviously up now 3-1 in the series. And the main reason I bring all this up is because it makes me very happy for all you guys. But also, too, I look forward to when our time will come, chat. And there's a lot of reasons why our time will come with this Yankees team. And, you know, we got a lot to break down today. We'll go through the entire, not a full breakdown of yesterday's game, but the storylines to come out of it. Really got to talk Trent Grisham, because Trent Grisham is really justifying the Yankees offering him the qualifying offer this past offseason. But anyways, click like on the stream. Morning Yankee Show, another episode here today. Obviously, it is going to be a very Knicks-centric day out there, and justifiably so. If you want to talk a little bit of Yankee baseball, though, this is the show for you. Click like. Also, by the way, some programming notes. I think later today I might do an updated tier list video considering the fact that we are indeed off today. Yankees will be traveling to Toronto to begin a three-game set. No starters listed for Toronto yet, by the way. For us, we'll preview that a little bit down the road, but Cam Schlittler in game one. No, Ryan Weathers, excuse me, in game one. Cam Schlittler in game two. Will Warren in game three, or some variation of that order. We'll do a more deep dive preview on tomorrow morning show. But for now, let's talk a little bit of the Yankees' sweep of the Cleveland Guardians yesterday, because all of a sudden, apparently they can beat good teams. And yesterday was a good example. Not that the Yankees are a great team per se, although I certainly think they are, at least the final product will be. But it just goes to show you it's baseball. And it especially goes to show you the fallacy of that ridiculous stat many were running with about the, you know, record against 500 teams, which now, just after one series, is now up to 7-10. After it was like, what, 2-8, 1-6. It's a ridiculous stat because of the sample size. And people were going nuts with it and taking it as if the Yankees are incapable of beating quote-unquote good teams, which the Guardians certainly are. No doubt about it. They beat us 2 out of 3 last week. But man, when we lost 2 out of 3 against Cleveland last week, all of a sudden, our fellow brethren here, who I all love, by the way, we're all on the same side. So nothing to do with today's show and ever that I discuss on here is going to be I told you so vibes. Because there's going to be times where you guys can say, Dan, I told you so. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about Anthony Volpe possibly being a late bloomer using Dansby Swanson as a comparison. I never said Volpe would be Dansby Swanson, but the idea of late bloomers exist. Actually, that take hasn't aged all that bad because it was, again, the principle of late bloomers do exist. Maybe Volpe won't be one, but there's things that I say that are wrong. I think there's things that some of you guys say that are wrong. That's all well and good. This is not a I told you so kind of show because that's where you get egotistical. And we don't care about that. What we do care about is the Yankees winning, and Trent Grisham is certainly helping the Yankees do so. We'll get more into that, but let's hear a little bit from yesterday. Yankees complete the sweep in Cleveland and Rays won also, but, you know, we'll get into it. Here's the sound from yesterday. Yankees sweep the Guardians.
1-0. Hit hard. Oh, what a snare from McMahon. An exclamation point to end the sweep as the Yankees win it 8-4. And the Yankees a season high 15 games above 500.
Great. Really good offensive day for us. A lot of little things done well, some big hits, some big at-bats. A really outstanding series, again, against a team that I think is really good over there in the Guardians.
And they absolutely are really good. Again, it just goes to show not to get too caught up in small sample sizes. Now, as we kind of always say on here, like, I can definitely forgive a lot of Yankee fans for watching this season with caution, because every year we have moments where, regardless of how good the team truly is, I think this year it is truly good. I think last year's team was truly good. This team is better. 2024, that team was good too. But like, we've seen the 2022 team play way above their heads. There's been times where we'll go through stretches where things are looking really good, and then what does it end in? Ultimate disappointment where we get bounced in the postseason. I understand a lot of Yankee fans, you're well within your rights to be like, all right, this is good right now, but how's it going to end? Is it going to end the same way every other year goes? Obviously, that's possible. Ideally not. And that's why, you know, I think we're going to win the AL East. And by the way, the Rays did indeed win yesterday. So they sweep Boston. We sweep Cleveland. We enter today's off day 41-26, Tampa Bay 40-25. So we're still not at the top of the American League East. But you guys know how I feel if you've been watching. I'm not really concerned about the Rays whatsoever. I like playing the game of scoreboard watching. When we're doing the watch parties, I have them on the iPad, and it's fun. But ultimately, I think even without Judge the next couple months, which, by the way, since placing Judge on the IL, they're 4-1. And I know they lost the series against Cleveland while Judge was technically out, but there's a different mindset when you officially know, all right, you're going to be without Judge for a couple months. Come that date forward, which was Friday, so the series opener against Boston, we're now 4-1 in that span. But nonetheless, I think we're going to win the AL East. I would like to think we're going to have the best record in the American League, and that will play a huge role if we can secure that. And maybe even the best record in baseball, because obviously we know home field advantage is very important. And while we're not, I won't say we're better than the Dodgers, obviously, that can win you a series. Remember, Aaron Boone, his era of the Yankees, so you can call us the Judge's Yankees or Boone's era, whatever it is, 2018 on. So 2017 on too, that was the one year, Girardi. We have never lost in the Aaron Boone era a playoff series to a lower seed. We have never lost a series that we haven't been favored in. And a reason to bring that up is because you secure the best record in the league, you have home field advantage throughout the entire American League. You secure the best record in baseball, you have home field advantage in the World Series. You know how important that is. So while I'm not worried about the Rays per se, and if I had to pick one team in the East, one team in the American League to be concerned about, I've said this a lot and I stand by it, in part because the AL is not that great, so you really got to pick a team to do this and think about it. It still is the Blue Jays for me. Anyways, with that said, I'm not worried about the AL East, but I am very much every single day thinking about the American League and the fact that we have to get the one seed, and we have to ideally get the one seed in all of baseball, because that will prove very significant come the postseason. Anyways, with all that said, yesterday's win is absolutely huge based off of both, seeding, AL East, whatever it is. Wins are important no matter what. We know that. Vibes-wise, though, and the mindset, five games in, without Aaron Judge, we're now 4-1 since he was placed on the IL. And this goes back to something that we all kind of, for the most part, agreed upon on that very aggressive show I had the day after he was officially placed, where a lot of Yankee fans, and this is awesome, I really do think, I don't want to say optimism is cool now, but at the very least, being a doomer and a gloomer and like everything stinks, Yanks never have a chance to win it all, and we're all going to die, like that mindset is not cool. And I think that's kind of fading out, and not that I'm one to be saying, we're all on the same equal footing here. I don't want to be like, oh, I'm proud of the fan base, like, whatever. Because sometimes people will do that, and you have a YouTube channel, and all of a sudden, they talk like they're God. Like, no, we're the same freaking person. It's like, your opinion is as good as mine. But, I really was proud of the fan base with, for the most part, how they reacted after the Judge news, understanding, no, it's not the end of the world. Like, it would have been had he, unfortunately, at the time we were concerned about this, but fortunately, it wasn't thoracic outlet syndrome. But that day, we were very scared. Because that would have meant he's done for the season. We then find out, still not ideal, but we'll be without him for a couple months. We all, for the most part, were kind of on the understanding, well, this isn't ideal. It's not the end of the world. We will get Judge back. And there's a big difference between this team without Judge and the 2023 team without Judge. This is a good squad. Not perfect, we know that. The bullpen, don't even got to talk about it because we've talked about it so much. There's no more to discuss. We know that there's issues with this pen. A pen that, in this series, was actually pretty damn good. And on the topic of that, there are names that we can feel good about. I mean, Fernando Cruz, we know, is a dog. David Bednar, I think I like him a little bit more than you guys do, and I get some pushback on that, and I understand. But my main point always with Bednar is, people kind of group him in with Camilo Duvall, which Camilo Duvall had a good game this series, too. But, Bednar's not Duvall, and the ugly has been ugly. But for the most part, he's blown a couple saves, the one of which being against the Mets, and that was ugly. The other one was an extra innings loss against Tampa Bay. He makes you stress. He makes you sweat. But more often than not this season, Bednar has gotten the job done. Anyways, Brent Hedrick continues to be great. Tim Hill, we know, is a dog. And again, this series in itself, there were some big outs recorded by this bullpen. But there is a, I don't want to say as far as a foundation of the bullpen laid out. There's not. We need way more than just the idea of depth to this bullpen. But it's not helpless. And they showed that this series against Cleveland. We know about that, though. And the Yankees are expected to add relievers at the trade deadline, as well as a right-handed hitting catcher. Also, we know Austin Wells is beginning to do baseball activities again, so we'll see him at some point soon. He will be activated off the IL, probably not that far out of the 10 days once it's up, which will be sometime next week. But we know they're supposed to apparently add a right-handed hitting catcher by the trade deadline. So upgrades are coming. Carlos Segrane, the Yankees anticipate it'll probably be in the month of July that he is brought up. And obviously, for those who don't know, he's one of our top prospects, still a starter long term, but the Yankees are, in the meantime, this year, converting him to a reliever to help out in the bullpen. He had another good outing as a reliever in AAA the other day. Holcomb up. So reinforcements are coming. We know Giancarlo Stanton is expected to come back next week. Jason Dominguez, which we'll get into a later conversation about some very interesting roster moves that the Yankees have ahead of them. We talked about it a lot yesterday, but there's more to discuss with that conversation. But the point is, this team without Judge and where we're at right now is not helpless. This team is still, and part of this is because of the competition in AL so bad, but it's one of, if not still, the best, without Judge, the best team in the American League. And it's going to get better. Reinforcements are coming. The trade deadline is coming. Guys are going to get healthy. Also, Max Fried, we kind of just forget about him being hurt. Now, we've continued to give updates on him, but even myself, like, think about the fact of just now, I was going through all these ideas of us getting better, reinforcements, guys getting healthy, and Max Fried just popped in my brain at the very end of that little discussion I was about to conclude with. Max Fried's coming back too. He'll probably be back at some point in July, and that might be a good thing this way, the way this has all transpired, where, hey, we got the rotation to get by without Max Fried, and for all we know, this might benefit him long-term, having a nice little 1 to 2 month break. Maybe even the same for Judge. That's where I do get on the verge of possibly shilling a little bit. Like, not everything that goes wrong can be spun into a, you know, everything is great. I'm not trying to play that game. And sometimes my brain will naturally go that way. And I understand completely the pushback on some of the things that I say. But you got to acknowledge. And I'm talking to the ones that, and you're completely welcome here. We're all on the same page. We want the Yankees to win. You got to acknowledge. At the very least, give me this. This team is not helpless without Aaron Judge. This team, outside of previous year's PTSD, which I totally understand, kind of Yankee fans waiting for the shoe to drop, please, you got to give me this. This team does have a chance. This team is not terrible. This team is not the squad that we saw in past years. Now, one might say, well, then we ran it back. 2025 is the same team as 2026. Well, no, it's not. No, it's not. Even right now, before the deadline, our rotation is way better. The lineup, I mean, listen, I think Volpe's getting sent down next week. We are on the verge, again, of having a shortstop who is not Anthony Volpe. And that, of course, is Jose Caballero. They got to get him out of right field. That play yesterday with Grisham, second time we've seen it, but yesterday was a lot more ugly. For those who didn't see, it was early in the first, I think it was the first inning, right? Or second inning? Grisham calls for, at least you assume he did, but nonetheless, he's your center fielder. Caballero, you gotta relax a little bit, y'all. I respect you going after the ball, but that was very much a collision. And Grisham looked pissed after. He did. Now, he's all good. Him and Caballero are all good. But using that kind of as a point to get to this, we got to get him out of right field. And that will come soon because the roster is going to undergo some serious changes over the next week because of the return of just Giancarlo Stanton alone, but also Jason Dominguez. And with that, we'll touch more on this later, but obviously we've already discussed it. Volpe should be sent down. Because if he's not, then you're sending down Max Schumann. And that would be probably the most upset I have been, and I'll be vocal about it, with this Yankees team. If they send down Max Schumann over Anthony Volpe next week, there might be a crazy thumbnail and a crazy title. I will tell you that. But I don't think that's going to happen because, contrary to popular belief, I don't think the Yankees are that much of a foolish organization. And they've already done it once, so like the Band-Aid's already off. We'll touch a little bit more on the roster decisions to come because there's way more than just Volpe. But a big difference from this year to last is we've talked about this a lot, so just to put it out there again, like, we have a different option at shortstop. Even past Caballero, Jules Sherman is not ruling out George Lombard Jr., our top prospect, being called up maybe even in August. I'm not going to say that's going to happen, but he's hitting a lot better in AAA lately, and he's one phone call away. Between that, between the trade deadline to come. Like, this team, make no mistake, and just the fact that they're one more year together and they clearly do gel, even compared to last year, this team is better. And just to wrap up this part of the conversation, we talked about it a lot, there's no comparison between this squad and 2024. Now, Ben Rice is in a little bit of a scuffle. It's fine. He's very legit. Don't worry about him. Not that anybody is. But Alami kept saying was that, like, you know, the production of Juan Soto has been replaced because you have Ben Rice for a lot cheaper, by the way, not $50 million a year. Rice is making only $800,000. But with losing Soto, you're also able to bring in Cody Bellinger, who's been a godsend for the Yankees, even more so than he was last year. Cody Bellinger is on pace for a war over 9. So even just comparing, like, the guys that were here last year to this year, they're better. You can go many angles with that. Bellinger, like we just talked about, he was great last year. He's elite this year. Ben Rice was great last year. He's elite this year. Will Warren is an example I often bring up. Like, he had a 4-4 ERA last year. And, you know, he had not a great start the other day, but he still managed. And right now he's 7-1 with a 3-2, and he's probably going to the bullpen. By the way, speaking of the bullpen, Ryan Weathers, Boone said, was available out of the bullpen yesterday. And I posted on my story saying, because I do find it quite interesting. I think, and I might be overreading this, but I think it's quite clear that you could use that as a you know, little tea leaf to read off of that. Maybe he is come Freed's return, let's say, and things could change by then. You know, injuries, knock on wood, blah, blah, blah. If I had a guess, I would think Ryan Weathers will be the first guy that goes to the bullpen. And the fact that he was apparently available out of the pen yesterday contributes to that thought process. I think he might be the one to go. Anyways, we know some things about this team aren't perfect. Not at all. I'm not saying this team is perfect. You don't got to be perfect. Few teams are. But they're better than they were last year. This is the best team, in my opinion, of the Aaron Judge era, and they're only going to get better. Now, with that said, what I really wanted to talk about here as I began this conversation of, you know, that whole little rambling session, by default, baseball will always be left to some sort of chance. Not to get into the crapshoot argument, there's a middle ground to it all. Like, not everything can be blamed on the fact that the postseason is a crapshoot. But also, and this is something that the Dodgers have done, they have removed every bit of chance possible besides the default that it's baseball. That's what I want the Yankees to do this year. And with that, I say, while celebrating that this team is going to get better, reinforcements are to come, this is kind of a generic take. It's like, go on at the trade deadline. Like, yeah, obviously. But when it comes to the bullpen, don't even leave that up to chance. Because there's a world where you acquire, like last year, Camilo Duvall. Camilo Duvall is really good. He hasn't worked out. Get multiple relievers. Get multiple blue chip relievers. Everybody that's a prospect, for the most part, outside of Lombard and LeGrandhe, should be on the table. Doesn't mean you look to trade them. Doesn't mean you're like calling up and be like, yo, you want Elmer Rodriguez? You want him? You want him? Like, no, but if there's a deal that makes this team better and ensures your best chance possible at winning it all this year, you got to go out and do it. So I think everybody besides Lombard and LeGrandhe should be made available to secure this bullpen and then some. Ryan Jeffers is available. Not whatever it takes to go out and get him, because, you know, it shouldn't be that crazy of a return. But don't be afraid to make a deal that hurts a little bit. Don't be afraid to make multiple deals that hurt a little bit, because this team, the foundation of it, and just given the circumstance of the American League and the pitching staff is really the biggest component of this conversation, our rotation and what it'll be in the postseason, by default, gives you a chance to get very excited and, you know, all the more reason to make sure you capitalize on what this team is and what this team can be. So, you know, we'll be covering the trade deadline. I got to put my laptop in. We'll be covering the trade deadline, especially come July and as we get closer and closer to that August 3rd deadline. But this is no doubt about it, the most important trade deadline that I have witnessed, or that I will witness, in my tenure as a Yankee fan, which is from 2011 on. This is a pivotal trade deadline, and it's one that could change the entire current history of this Boone era, Judge era, this timeline that we are in, which has been borderline torturous. I know other fan bases will be like, oh, Yankee fans, you don't have it that bad. Well, in the end, every year results in the disappointment that fans or teams that are bad feel. Now, I'm not comparing us to the Rockies. Obviously, it is nice to have a baseball season to be able to enjoy. And right now, obviously, we have that. But ultimately, you know, you get your hopes up and then they come crashing down come postseason elimination. It's all the same, whether it be World Series elimination, missing the playoffs, ALDS last year, or if this team, whatever it may be, if they don't get the job done, we'll be right back at ground or square zero. Rock bottom again, which we'll have to get all geared up for another season. baseball by default, there's a chance it doesn't work out. But make sure you eliminate every other factor that could lead to the elimination that you've had every single year, one way or another. Leave it up to chance as little as you possibly can, which is what the Dodgers do. That's what the Dodgers do. Anyways, sweep of the Guardians. Again, they're tied now still on with the Rays, who swept Boston. So we enter today's off day, Thursday, June 11th. In the same spot we woke up in yesterday, but I'm feeling pretty good as a Yankee fan right now. No doubt about it. And especially the fact that we're 4-1 since placing Judge on the IL. And again, there's a difference between, you know, losing the three game or the 2 out of 3 against Cleveland when Judge was in the limbo, like still on getting tests, and we didn't know exactly what the deal was going to be, but we were without him. It's more of like a mindset thing. This team, so far, since Judge being placed in the IL and vibes were very much down, is getting through it. We're going to continue to take it one day at a time. Today's Thursday, we're off. We're chilling. Knicks, great win last night. Unbelievable win last night. Tomorrow we go to Toronto. We'll preview that more in just a little bit. Let's talk some Trent Grisham because, again, he is absolutely justifying what the Yankees decided to do, which is offer him the qualifying offer, which was very controversial. And he's justifying that move. He has been terrific, and yesterday continued that. That triple that he had was awesome, but particularly the slide that we're about to see was a game changer and really got things going yesterday where the Yankees had a tie game at that point, and he makes this incredible slide directed by Jazz, who told him, yo, first base side, like this is where you got to slide. And Grisham executed greatly, and you'll see him get all pumped up. Here's Grisham, the triple, the sack fly by Caballero, another good game for Caballero yesterday too, and then we'll hear from him a little bit after, and then we'll break it down more. But yeah, Trent Grisham has been great lately, and yesterday was a continuation of that.
Hits it hard in the air to right field and deep, racing back. Martinez can't make the catch. Grisham into second. He's thinking about three. Heading there now. The throw not in time. It's a triple. Caballero drives that to left field down the line. Fry coming in makes the catch. Here comes Grisham. Here's the throw up the line. Grisham is safe. Slide from Trent Grisham.
The sweep's always good, no matter when it comes. I thought we played some really good baseball throughout the whole series, and won in a few different ways. So, it was a good series.
When you guys lose Judge for that long, is it deflating? Is it you guys have handled that? It doesn't faze you guys? What's the mindset on moving on without him and taking care of business?
I think nothing changes for everybody in this building. We know how great of a player he is. We know what he means to this team, and we know what he means to this clubhouse. But I think everybody talks about it on the outside. But on the inside, I mean, it's business as usual. Our job remains the same. We're going out there trying to win every night. It'll be a different guy every night. But, I mean, at the end of the day, we trust everybody in this clubhouse.
I might get a Trent Grisham jersey, honestly. I am, for those who don't know, I'm a big fan of Grisham for obvious reasons in that, you know, he's playing really well lately. Was great last year. I like the way he handles himself, and that's really why I bring it up right there. He's cool as hell, and he's a dog. Now, obviously, also, too, the jersey I would get wouldn't have the name on the back, so whoever ends up wearing 12 after whenever Grisham's tenure as a Yankee is done, you know, that's a good thing about no names. Like, my old Juan Soto jerseys have turned into a Ben Rice jersey. But I'm a big fan of Trent Grisham, and, yo, even if you're not, again, just asking you to acknowledge what is currently the situation, which is he has been really playing well. Since May 1st, Trent Grisham is hitting .296, OBP of .377, which is with the slugging percentage of .480, .857 OPS. .857 OPS since May 1st, which obviously well over a month-long sample size, 4 homers, 17 RBIs. That has brought his season stats up to, on the year, a .342 OBP. OPS of 751, 114 WRC+. And you know what's kind of interesting? I made sure I included it here on the stat graphic, but for those who are later listening audio only, his K rate, I was not even like aware of this or didn't really process in my head that Grisham's K rate is at a 16.2%. Last year, which he was great last year, we know that, he was around 23%, which is pretty standard for like, you know, a guy that is a power hitter. And, you know, he's not pacing for 34 home runs this year, but he's pacing for close to 30 at least. That's a pretty dramatic difference in strikeout percentage for Trent Grisham. Around 23% last year, down to a 16.2% K rate. He currently sits right now here on June 11th. Again, that's for the season, not since May 1st, which since then he's been great, really turning his season around. And we know in April, the underlying metric suggested that he wasn't always going to be hitting 180. and that obviously now has changed. This is a prolonged sample size of Grisham being a very productive player for the Yankees. And also, too, we saw it yesterday against Messick, which, by the way, Messick, the Guardians starter, entered play with a 6-2 record with a 2.4 ERA. The Yankees put up 5 runs against him and did pretty damn well. But what I want to say is also against lefties, Grisham has been way more of a competent at bat compared to what he was last year. He was borderline unplayable against lefties last year. Had a WRC plus, I believe it was a 44 against left-handed pitching last season. This year, while still, I think, below league average against lefties, it's way more of a worthwhile at-bat, and he just has not been a lost cause whatsoever, and yesterday continued that. But again, the overall stats are great, or great compared to where he was, but he's above league average on the season now, 114 WRC+. That can kind of wrap up the stats side of this conversation. Bottom line is, Trent Grisham is helping the Yankees win games, and we talked about it a lot. What would the Yankees outfield be going into the season had they not signed Grisham? There wasn't like a clear option out there to go out and get, unless they were to sign both Bellinger and Tucker, which we knew that wasn't going to happen. It was either, okay, you re-sign Bellinger, play him in center, and then you have Jason Dominguez in left, and let's put the injury to the side for right now. But we know his defense is not good enough to be an everyday major league outfielder. He's probably more so a DH, which can still play a role long term. Stanton's last year is next season. I love Jason, and I look forward to him coming back. But with Grisham, it almost, especially in hindsight, but at the time we were talking about it too, was a no-brainer. And the Yankees got to be feeling good about it. And something that we often said was, when they acquired or re-signed Grisham on that qualifying offer, to me that felt like, okay, this is our best guarantee of adding slash bringing back a bat that wasn't just Bellinger. I was worried that it would be Bellinger and that was the offseason. And if it were, we'd be in a really bad spot right now. Because Grisham has really contributed, especially since Judge gone down. But again, since May 1st, 857 OPS. I know the defensive metrics still aren't great, but I feel good about Grisham in center field. He's a damn good defender out there as far as I'm concerned. And with that, you also have Bellinger in left, not center, which if we didn't re-sign Grisham, in all likelihood, that's where Bellinger would be. And we know Bellinger has been the best defensive left fielder in all of baseball, which is contributing to the war that he's put up. Bellinger's pacing for a war over 9. So we'll kind of leave it there with Grisham because I don't want to, you know, something I think I used to do back when I was like, you know, in my teens. Would be just like harp on stats, which we can do that. And it's quite awesome the season that he's now having. But just talking about eye test for a minute and just watching the games, Trent Grisham is helping the Yankees win games. And I'm very glad he's back. I'm a big fan of him. And the Yankees got to be feeling pretty good right now. Because again, what he's doing is justifying that qualifying offer that they offered, which was very controversial. And I understand some of the trepidation surrounding it. But also there were, you know, a good portion of fans, not everybody. Again, we're all on the same side here. We want the Yankees to win. That's why people got so frustrated about Grisham being brought back, those who didn't like him. But, like, some people just be like, F Grisham, Grisham stinks, blah, blah, blah. I doubt anybody's saying it now. And if everybody is saying it now, then, you know, I guess nothing really to say back to you because then you're probably a lost cause in terms of being able to change your opinion. But I guess that's kind of what I'm saying here, too, is if you're somebody that was anti-Trent Grisham, can you please at least acknowledge that he's playing pretty damn well right now, and he's a big reason why the Yankees are surviving. Again, one day at a time. We're going one day at a time with this. But the Yankees are surviving right now with Aaron Judge. And Grisham's been a huge reason as to why. So shout out to him. I really might get his jersey soon. You guys might see me rocking a number 12 for the next couple weeks. Anyways, somebody else I also want to talk about. We'll do this quick, and then we'll get to the Volpe and roster stuff again. But Carlos Rodon. Let's play from yesterday, but he goes 6 innings. Wasn't a perfect start. But he ends up going 6 innings, gets the win, and you know, a big reason why, you know, there was some a hiccup in his outing was also a rough error by Volpe, you know, some defensive miscues. But in the end, Rodon goes 6 innings, and I do want to have a conversation about, I think he deserves a little bit more respect from the fan base, and that includes after his performance yesterday.
2 from Rodon, swing and a miss, struck him out. Back-to-back K's for Carlos here in the 6th, 2 down.
What those games could be like in the playoffs. But Carlos Rodon says, I got this 6. 1, 2, 3, go the Guardians.
I knew I had to get some sort of depth, and I was, you know, obviously more than willing to go whatever pitch count they had me at. So I was just, the goal was to get 18 outs, and if I can get more than that, it was a plus. And like I said, I mean, offensively in the 5th there, they picked me up and gave me a break to get in the 6th and then get those 3 outs.
First thing I want to say, and this means nothing, performance trumps all, and performance is all we care about. Carlos Rodon, especially compared to the year one, he's a very likable Yankee. I'm a big fan of Rodon, the person. Now, again, performance is really what matters, and that performance that he's been putting up since the start of 2025, which if you're, again, listening audio only later on, because we're available on podcast, since the start of 2025, And this gets us into the conversation of, I do think Rodon deserves not just a little, but a lot more respect from the Yankee fan base. He is 20-11 in 39 starts with a 3.10 ERA since the start of the 2025 season. And his 184 batting average against since the start of 2025 is the best batting average against in the American League, at least qualified. He's not the same guy we saw in year one where he was brutal. 2024, he really wasn't that bad either. I mean, he won 16 games, had like a really rough summer, and then finished stronger, but also won a game against the Cleveland Guardians in ALCS game one that year. But I just really want to make sure, you know, if you're going to criticize Rodon, which do your thing, well, within your rights, whatever, you are aware of how great he has been. Now, if you still feel like, all right, Rodon's been good, but I still don't trust him, there's players that you do feel that way about. You know, like stats are one thing, feel is another. I feel differently than those people. I do feel good about Carlos Rodon. And I was going to mention how last year against Toronto, he was hurt and he literally couldn't straighten out his elbow. So I do excuse that start. And he pitched pretty well against Boston. We have seen him, you know, pitch well in postseason games. But if you're going to criticize Rodon, please do it with the understanding of knowing since 2025, the start of 2025, in 39 starts, he has been one of the best pitchers in the American League. And while, you know, this year still hasn't been perfect, but he has certainly gotten a lot better since his first couple starts off the IL. Rodon has been a damn good pitcher for the Yankees. And his season this year is starting to round into shape. He's got a 3.19 ERA on the season in 2026 this year with in six starts. But yeah, I think we can just kind of leave it there. Maybe just let me know your thoughts in the comment section below where you're at. And obviously, you know, he may have a bad start next time. And just because he had a good start this past outing, which wasn't great. I mean, it was six innings, three runs, but again, he kind of got screwed by some defense and whatever. Guys can not have their best stuff. But the fact that he didn't have his best stuff and still turned in six innings. And by the way, last week he was damn good against Cleveland, was the only starter to pitch well against them in the game that we won on that Sunday. Let me know how you feel about Rodon. If you still don't fully trust him based off feel, that's valid in terms of like general standpoint. Like, again, players can have good stats, but you just feel a little like, I don't know. I differ in that sense. I do trust Rodon, especially given the fact of he's going to be our game four starter in the postseason. And that's who will be and should be our game four starter in the postseason. To me, it's a fair conversation because our rotation is so great. Like, if you are really a big fan of Will Warren or Ryan Weathers when he's going well, word up. It's not like you're suggesting Johnny Brito should pitch over. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I don't know why I brought up Johnny Brito, but I hope he's doing well. He's still in San Diego. I'm Team Rodon, and I think for good reason. He's been terrific. And yesterday, while he wasn't terrific stuff-wise, in the end, he got the job done and helped Yankees sweep the Guardians. So big shout-out to Rodon. We'll leave it there. But let me know in the comment section below, you know, how you feel about all these things. Because I know some things I say are very different than how a lot of you guys feel. But that's what we do, though. We talk ball. Like, it's not a thing where, like, if you give me, like, Rodon fucking sucks, what are you talking about? And like, bro, okay, whatever. Like, you're a mouth breather. I don't care. But, like, talk ball. That's all I ever want to do here, yo. Like, we want to talk baseball. That's what this is all about, talking baseball. Again, we're all on the same side here. We want the Yankees to win, and right now we're celebrating the Yankees winning. There'll be some more adversity down the stretch, whether it be losing games, hopefully not another injury, but whatever it may be, like, there's going to be good times, there's going to be bad times. Right now we're in a good time. When you're in a good time, we celebrate the Yankees' success. When we're in a bad time, we hope that they'll rebound. And given the sport, chances are they will. The quote we used the other day, which I love, it's not my own, I wish it was, is any defeat until death is psychological. That's a baseball thing too, yo. If the Yankees get bounced come season's end, if Rodon ends up shitting the bed in the postseason healthy, I'll be right there with you. I'll do that then, but not right now. Not right now because I have no reason to. I have no reason to not feel pretty damn good about where we're at. Anyways, let's discuss this. So you guys know the deal with everything we've kind of laid out there, but if you don't, Jason Dominguez and Giancarlo Stanton are set to return within right around the next week. Anthony Volpe, his roster spot is in big question right now because let's just first start with Giancarlo Stanton, and then we'll get into Jason. One roster spot is needed for Giancarlo Stanton. He will be activated probably by the homestand, Boone is saying, which starts on Tuesday against the White Sox. Who's going to go down for him? Well, right now on the bench, we have Rosario. Well, it depends, you know, what the lineup is. But if you have the righty lineup, right now Goldschmidt starting at DH, which Goldschmidt probably will go to the bench, which we've talked about, is not a bad thing. He'll still play against lefties, but having his bat off the bench is part of why this team is different than previous Yankee teams, which, again, this is like one of the best benches we've had, especially once everybody is healthy. Goldschmidt go to the bench. Your bench would be, you know, with McMahon at third. Again, our lineup against righty, so McMahon at third, Stanton at DH. Goldschmidt, Rosario, Schumann, backup catcher, Volpe. One of those guys has to go. who will that be? And this also includes for right now, Spencer Jones starting in the outfield, so he's technically on the bench. One of those five have to go. Obviously, Rosario and Goldschmidt aren't going anywhere. The backup catcher conversation, if the Yankees would be willing to, you know, consider Rice to be an emergency catcher, you could technically do that. But let's just say that's not on the table right now. And Alex Sanchez slash, you know, J.C. Scar when Wells returns, you're going to have a backup catcher. It brings it down to Max Schumann or Anthony Volpe. You guys know how I feel, and I know how you feel. And as I said earlier in the show, I think Volpe will be sent down. They've already done it once. The Band-Aid has been ripped off. So they've already, if they're in fear of embarrassment of admitting where they're wrong, which the Yankees are not that afraid of doing so, believe it or not. With Volpe, it's been to another level, and I understand people being like, they're not going to send Volpe down. We've already seen them do it once. And in terms of admitting where they're wrong or, you know, cutting ties when, you know, it's not a great look or whatever, like we've seen them do it with contracts. Like Aaron Hicks, DFA'd with money left on his deal. DJ LeMahieu, DFA'd, money left on his deal. A-Rod in 2016, Josh Donaldson, whatever. Like, the Yankees have admitted mistakes plenty of times. And had they not already done it with Volpe a few weeks ago, or at least, like, you know, quote-unquote embarrass themselves with Volpe a few weeks ago, like kind of acknowledging, like, he's not our best option at shortstop, we're going to send him down. If they hadn't already done that, I would hear you out a little bit more. And I can still hear you out because, you know, obviously I'm a little bit nervous myself. They won't send Volpe down. But I think they will. If they don't, like I said earlier, if they send Max Schumann down and keep Volpe up, which even just saying it out loud, I can't anticipate that'll be the case. There will be a very, very depict thumbnail of me being upset, and a thumbnail that will be suggestive of me calling at the Yankees like never before and me being very angry. Now, fortunately, I don't think that'll be the case. And that's just one roster move, by the way. We're talking just Stanton up. Jason as well. Now, Jason, when he returns, whenever that may be, could be tomorrow, could be next week because Jones is playing well. I wonder if there's a world where they have both Jason and Jones up. But nonetheless, Stanton kind of gets us there already where his return, unless you're sending down Max Schumann or going with Ben Rice as your emergency catcher, which I don't think that'll happen, but I guess if it's a possibility, then all right, word, you could do that. And that would be able to allow you to keep, at least with Stanton, one guy up and Stanton, you would only need to send one guy down in that case. If you send down Alex Sanchez, Rice is your backup catcher, okay, fine, you can keep up Volpe and Schumann. Well, Jason will be back at some point too. So we have two roster spots to think about. And in regards to Volpe, it only takes one to create this conversation that we're having, but there's two, Stanton and Jason. So I think indisputably, this is what they should do. And I think quite confidently, this is what they will do because they've already ripped the Band-Aid off once. I believe next week, Anthony Volpe will be sent down. That's my take, if you will, which I kind of hate takes because, you know, that's how you get egotistical. It's never about takes or being right or wrong. That's not why I bring this up right now. I bring this up because the Yankees' best team in this case would be sending Volpe down. That's why I'm bringing it up. That's why it's my take. But if you want to know where I stand, what I think is going to happen, I believe that is what is going to happen. Volpe will be sent down. See, I'm crying over it. My voice is cracking. I think Volpe will be sent down next week. And then you get into the conversation of what the Yankees do with Jason or Jones. We talked about it a lot more, yesterday. Which that conversation kind of still stands. You can tune into yesterday's episode if you want like a more in-depth breakdown about that. But that revolves around playing time. Who would you rather have in right field if it's a tie between the way you feel about them at the plate? Defense could be the tiebreaker in that Jones is a better defender. Also, is there a world where both Jason and Jones are on the roster at the same time? I don't think so. You probably do want whoever's not like starting every day to be down in the minors getting everyday reps. Jason's rehab assignment could go still, you know, longer. So they can kind of postpone this issue. But at the very least, Stanton creates the Volpe conversation that we're having. So he should be sent down with that. But also at some point, Jason and the Yankees will have to make a decision on that. And maybe they prolong it to where, all right, let's see another week of Jones, and then we'll make a decision. They could do that. But that's going to be very interesting. And I'm quite fascinated, as I said yesterday, quite fascinated about what they'll end up doing this next week or so of with the roster decisions that are looming. And the most obvious one to me, the one that really isn't a question that we know they'll have to deal with in relatively a short period of time with Stanton coming back is who gets sent down as a corresponding move for Stanton. And again, I made my point clear, but it's not just about what I think should happen or what I want to happen, what you guys want to happen. Truly what I believe will happen is the Yankees will send Anthony Volpe down come that point. It's going to be interesting though. I'm very excited because one, that'd be the best outcome possible because, you know, Schumann's better than Volpe. I cannot imagine them sending Schumann down. That would be absurd. For anybody who's watched the games, you know how great Schumann has been. But I'm quite excited. This is going to be interesting. This is going to be very interesting. And, I love the month of June, by the way. I love the month of June. And, you know, the Knicks, what they're doing right now is awesome. Part of me also does look forward a little bit to, like, when it's just purely baseball. And, like, we're the main show in town. But, obviously, I'll accept that given the circumstances. Go Knicks. But also, too, like, once you get into June, it's just so baseball. And then we'll get to the trade deadline soon. We got a big series, which we'll preview more tomorrow, by the way. But Yankees off today, go to Toronto tomorrow. We get a three-game set. Game one, Friday night, 7:37. Game two, Saturday afternoon, 3:07. Game three, Sunday at 1:37. I guess I just love summer, yo. It's hot as hell out today, by the way. Oh, my God. They're saying heat advisory and all that. Anyways, we'll preview the Blue Jays series more tomorrow. I'm going to get out of here because I do got to prep baseball today. Mostly it's all prepped, Chris Rose, if you're listening, by the way. It is mostly all prepped. I got to do some final things, but we're about to record that, so I'm going to head out of here. With that said, though, go Knicks. That was incredible last night. Am I a little embarrassed that I fell asleep? Sure, but it's not like, you know, if I were to ever fall asleep during a Yankee game, period, comeback or not, I don't know if I could ever say hello to you guys again because that'd be embarrassing. Pathetic, and I'd be embarrassed myself. Forget any of this. But, like, I'm a very casual Knicks fan. And I'd like to make that very clear because I'm not just jumping on board. And if you want to, word up. It's not my place to say you can. But, like, I think about what the Yankees, like, I like when everybody that's, you know, kind of casual or, like, you know, not all that invested during the season. But, like, come October, when the Knicks are going on a run, it's, like, the talk of the town. I love that. It's, like, that's what the Knicks are right now. But, yeah, dude, I'm very, very happy, obviously, because all you guys are happy. The Knicks fans are, Knicks fans deserve this. And I'm not going to lie. I'm invested enough, and I see the way Wemby operates. I'm not a fan of him. I'm not a fan of him whatsoever. And I will say, it's not a crime to throw an egg / tomato at somebody. You know, like, is it ideal? No. But, like, people will be like, this can't happen. This can't happen. Is it great? No. But, yo, throwing a tomato at somebody you don't like is a tale as old as time. And it does crack me up that somebody went into a convenience store last night to purchase a dozen eggs to throw at Wemby. Is it great? No. But, listen, am I running for president anytime soon? Am I, like, you know, the poster child of morality? I don't know. Like, I'm just being real with you guys. Like, anybody who's saying, like, oh, Knicks fans are trash. Like, bro, Knicks fans, if you want to say they're trash for what happened the other day against the Spurs, Spurs fans, like, and all that shit, that's the word. That's different. You don't, assuming they weren't, like, talking shit or nothing, they were just existing, you don't jump Spurs fans and, like, kick the, like, that's whack. We don't do that. Speaking of all being on the same side, we are humans. Wendy was acting like a punk yesterday. And if the worst thing comes out of it is him getting a freaking egg thrown on him, a beautiful throw, by the way. I had to make sure it wasn't AI. Whatever, dude, whatever. Like, I kind of stand by that. And is that going to be a thing where could it age poorly for me? Like, I mean, probably not because nobody cares how I feel about the Knicks. But, like, it's something that I understand going into a take that I have or anything on when I'm live, it could be clipped against on Twitter. I'm going to be my best behavior for tomorrow's watch party against the Blue Jays. Don't worry, we'll be all good. I'm comfortable with that take, like, being out there, yo. It's like, when we got an egg thrown at his head, yo. It's kind of funny, and it was a great throw. Don't kick up, or don't beat up any Spurs fans, though. You know what I'm saying? Assuming they were just existing. If they're being punks and talking shit, then, like, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, like, that's not the victim blame or nothing, but, like, be smarter than that, bro. But I assume what happened the other night was just, you know, Spurs fans existing. You don't, that was whack. And that was embarrassing. When we got an egg to the head, yo, he's going to be all right. He's going to be all right. And I found it quite funny. Anyways, go Knicks. I got to get out of here. I really got to go. But love you guys so much. Click like on the stream if you don't mind. We'll be live, I'd better say tonight, but not tonight because the Yankees are off. I might do a tier list video again. I might do an updated tier list video because we're off today. And then, yeah, live tomorrow morning, Friday morning Yankee show. And then we'll be live for the Blue Jays series starting tomorrow night. So love you guys to death. Have a great rest of your day. Enjoy the vibes of the city and everything you got going on, whether you're in the North Jersey area, New York, Florida, whatever, or not even in the country. Word up, yo. Love you all to death. I'll see you next time. Let's go, Yanks.